The text is the gospel reading from St. John. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which will give for the life of the world." Here ends the text. What's a parent to do when a child won't eat? There are several options available, but I'm not interested in teaching you how to get your kids to eat. I'm interested in telling you what God does when his children won't eat. That's what our text is about. It begins with, "At this time the Jews began to grumble because Jesus said, 'I am the bread of heaven.'" The Jews are the children of Israel, and they would not eat. They refused to eat Jesus, the bread of heaven, because of his earthly origins. They knew Jesus as the son of Joseph and Mary. They knew Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. They knew Nazareth was not heaven. He wasn't from heaven at all, but earth, and not a particularly nice place on earth at that. It was pretty much out of the way. In fact, when Jesus started his public ministry, he moved from the backwater town of Nazareth to the city where our text takes place in, Capernaum. Above the door of this synagogue, rather than the usual symbol of a seven-branch candlestick or a Passover lamb, was the symbol for manna, the Old Testament bread from heaven. Jesus speaks of himself as the bread of heaven, but they aren't eating because of Jesus' earthly origins and their erring faith. They ask, "How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Angels are from heaven, but they're not from earth too. Man is from earth, but he's not from heaven. God is from heaven, but not from earth. Jesus, who never denies he was born of Mary and had human flesh and blood, claims he is from heaven too." This they are rejecting. Before you think this can't be your problem, think again. A remark from a Luther sermon on this text will show you it is your problem. He says, "Thus, when you hear a sermon by St. Paul or by me, you hear God the Father himself." When you hear a sermon by me, do you think you're hearing God the Father himself? If not, you're in company with the non-eating Jews. The Jews didn't think they were hearing God the Father when Jesus spoke because they knew where Jesus was from. So they didn't dine on his words. What does God do when his children won't eat? He puts their gaunt bodies before their eyes. Evidently, there was a mixed reaction in the crowd. Some believed, some didn't. When the word for grumble is used in John 7, it's used of people who believed on Jesus. There's an argument between people going on here. Jesus says, "Stop grumbling with one another." Why? Because the only way anyone gets to Jesus is by the Father dragging them. If you're not dining on Jesus, it's because the Father hasn't dragged you to this point. Jesus explains this clearly. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. If you haven't come to me, it's because you haven't learned or listened to the Father. I think I know where you're tripping. It's the insert translation, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." You have images of the Savior softly, gently calling sinners. You have images of being enticed, invited, schmoozed into coming to Jesus by relationships, by community, by having your felt needs met. But the word is not draw. The word is dragged. There is a Greek word that means draw, but it's never ever used of a Jesus attracting sinners. The word used here is for dragging a dead weight. When Peter in John 21 drags the net full of fish ashore, that is the word used. Don't grumble with someone because he sees no value in dining on Jesus. Don't grumble with him for refusing to eat. He can't help it. He isn't being dragged by the Father. But that also means he won't be raised to life on the last day. Only those dragged by the Father are raised to life by Jesus on the last day. The rest are raised, but as the living dead. Jesus holds this bleak picture before them and says, "This is what you are if you won't eat of me." You know those funhouse mirrors, how they distort everything? In a Seinfeld episode, Elaine says a particular woman's clothing store has mirrors that make you look much better than you really do to get you to buy clothes you otherwise would not. Well, the mirrors, the devil, the world, and your own self hold up to you when you're not eating the bread of heaven. They're just like that. They make you look healthy. They make you look vibrant. They make you look strong. In this text, Jesus shows you what you really look like. Unraised. Your best day on this earth will be the best it will ever be for you. From your last day on, it's only going to get worse. It sure didn't look or feel like it was a big deal to reject Jesus, whose father and mother they knew. It didn't look or feel like it was a big deal to miss the preaching and the teaching of Jesus. It didn't feel like they were missing anything worth eating. So Jesus holds up a mirror to show their true state. By rejecting Jesus, his preaching or teaching, they don't even see God, let alone are they being taught by him. A Catholic priest said recently that when he entered the priesthood, he thought people would be coming to him asking him what God thinks of this or that. But what he found is that most came telling him what God wants. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to follow these desires, or he wouldn't give them to me. This has been my experience too. Most people believe they know exactly what God thinks. But Jesus tells us that no one sees the true God or knows what he thinks apart from him. All the plans, all our ideas, all our wishes, wants, and opinions formed apart from Jesus are outside of God, lead away from God, and they don't end in life. When children won't eat, not that they can't eat, but they won't eat, what's a parent to do? What does a sinful parent do in such a situation? Feed them anyway. That's what Jesus does here too. After he holds up the mirror of God's holy law, showing those who refuse to eat how gaunt, how sickly, how doomed they really are, he sets more food out on the table. Jesus says, despite of how you've scorned the bread of life, despite of how you've turned up your nose at my teaching and preaching, I see all the way into heaven itself, and I tell you, the Father hasn't ceased dragging, teaching, or feeding sinners. Don't believe him? A few short years after Jesus speaks this, the Father will drag the murderous St. Paul into the church. And if Paul can be dragged in, there is no sinner so hardened that he cannot be moved to. Likewise, the Gospels, they're only the beginning the preaching and teaching of Jesus, says Acts 1. Acts continues to record Jesus preaching and teaching through his church. And that is going on right down to our day. The prophet Amos said, a sure sign of God's judgment was not a lack of rain or a lack of food. A sure sign of God's judgment was a lack of preaching and teaching of the word of the Lord. This hasn't yet happened. The word is still going out, and everyone who listens and learns from the Father is still being dragged to Jesus. When his children won't eat, the Father continues to try and feed them his Son. Only by eating of him does anyone live forever. Think about it. If the food brought by an angel was enough to give life to Elijah for a 40 days and nights journey to the mountain of God, I think the body and blood of God the Son can give you enough life for any journey you need to make or any mountain you need to climb. How come? How come his flesh can do what yours can't? Because your flesh is only from your mother and father. They could impart to you no more life than they got from their parents. And as we heard last week, the life they did get was infected with death. Jesus got his flesh and blood from the womb of the Virgin Mary, but he got his life from being the second person of the Trinity. Having lived and reigned from eternity as God the Son, he was not just alive, but life. But the fact that he wasn't only alive, but life itself isn't as important is what he did with that life. Last week, Jesus told these slow-to-eat children, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This week, we have a gospel advance. Jesus says, this is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That word for is very important. As we talked about in the Hebrews Bible class, it means more than for. It means instead of. It means in place of. It means in behalf of. Last week we were told Jesus gives life to the world, which is a statement of God's providence. This week we're told he gives his life instead of the world, which is a statement of redemption. The whole world had forfeited its life. Every last man, woman, and child has given up his or her claim to life because they have violated God's holy laws. God had not only written it in stone, but in all of our hearts, that his holy laws must be kept perfectly. Keeping them perfectly, we could live forever. Break even one, and there would be hell to pay. But we didn't break one, but all. So now not only is the law demanding perfection hanging over our heads, our debt of sin is too. Now all we have to do is pay that debt and never ever sin again. Can you do that? Jesus could, and Jesus did. Being true God, he was free of our sinfulness from birth and in life. Never once sinning, he fulfilled the law and removed it from hanging over our heads. Being truly human, he could be the perfect human sacrifice to satisfy God's wrath against us human sinners. Being truly God, he could satisfy God. And he did. He came down from heaven to enter our flesh, to raise our flesh to heaven. We partake of this salvation when we feed on him, whether by eating up his words of forgiveness with our ears, drinking in his waters of promise with our bodies, or eating his body and drinking his blood with our mouths. In his sermon on this text, Luther said that the 12th century Muslim scholar Averroes wrote that no other people on earth were as stupid, ungodly, and senseless as the Christians. For all the other people taught and said that God should be honored and borne on loving arms, we Christians, on the other hand, teach that our God should be eaten. Bon appetit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.